And from the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines for you this hour, numbers to follow. Those of you brand new to the program, tattoo them to your arm. Next hour, the saving of America, perhaps. What are the future effects on the quality of life here for all of us because of immigration, illegal and otherwise, with our guest, Frosty Wooldridge, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here's some of the stories of the day before we get to the open line phone calls. Well, you know, for some time I've been concerned about Yellowstone, that caldera there. Well, listen to this. A report from the U.S. Geological Survey. The Yellowstone caldera, they say, has been classified a high threat for volcanic eruption. That's not a good sign. Yellowstone ranks 21st most dangerous of the 169 volcano centers here in the United States, according to the Geological Survey's first ever comprehensive review of the nation's volcanoes. Kilauea up in Hawaii received the highest overall threat, scored by, followed then by Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier in Washington, Mount Hood in Oregon, and Mount Shasta in California. Kilauea has been erupting since 1983. Mount St. Helens, of course, which erupted catastrophically in 1980, began venting again in 2004. And these volcanoes fall within the very high threat group, which includes 18 systems. Yellowstone is classified with the others as a high threat. Well, as we continue to monitor the strange deaths of microbiologists around the world, I've had this emailed over to Stephen Quayle so he can follow up on this. One of Australia's best and most important scientists, his name is David Banks, was among those killed in a light aircraft crash in the far north Queensland this weekend up in Australia. Dr. Banks was 55 years old. He was the principal scientist with Quarantine Authority and in many ways had done a huge amount of work to protect Australians from unwanted diseases and pests. He was in the North Queenslands doing work for the Northern Australian Quarantine Strategy Group, which aims to protect the country from pests and diseases that can enter from more northern nations. He invented the mosquito trap used by various cattle farms there. Those herds are in traps are analyzed to give an early warning if perhaps pests or diseases are making their way into the country. Dr. David Banks, a leading scientist in Australia, dead at the age of 55, a light plane crash. If these stories don't get sicker, let me tell you this. Two second grade girls who disappeared while riding bikes together were found dead north of Chicago, both stabbed multiple times and left to die off a bicycle path. A resident walking through a wooded nature area in the park discovered the bodies of an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old at about 6 a.m. Police identified the girls at a news conference on Monday. The parents of one of the girls had reported her missing Sunday late, about 2 hours after she was expected home. A deputy police chief, Clyde Watkins, says that the parents of the other girl called shortly thereafter. Authorities with rescue dogs then began searching. Ah, what a sad story. Iran has confirmed for the very first time now that it has converted 37 tons of raw uranium into gas, which is a key step of enrichment before it suspended all such activities in November under international pressure. This is going to become a major story. The confirmation means that Tehran is in a position to quickly start enriching uranium if it chose to end its suspension of the enrichment-related activities. It comes at a crucial time, with Europe trying in fragile negotiations to seal an agreement to ensure Iran's nuclear program and that it does not produce any nuclear weapons. The Europeans agreed last year that Iran could finish converting the 37 tons. Iran had begun processing the material mined from its own uranium resources in a very rushed attempt to do it just before the suspension at the time. Mohammad Sadi, the deputy head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, told the Associated Press that his country had processed the uranium into UF-4 gas. If processed further into UF-6, the material could be fed into centrifuges and enriched, allowing it to be used either to produce electricity or make nuclear weapons. The United States says if they continue doing this, grave consequences. Back in Australia, an Australian prison siege has ended after a group of inmates there agreed to release a guard that they had held for 2 days, simply in return for delivery of pizzas. A group of up to 20 inmates seized control of the reception area of the maximum security prison. They demanded better treatment and improvements to the jail. They took 15 pieces of pizza, and they let the guard loose. An actress sparked a murder investigation in China when she left a fake hand to the back of her car. Well, a passerby spotted the hand and called police. She says, "I was looking through the dark glass at the rear of the Jeep when I was shocked to see a hand. It looked like an adult man's hand." Four patrol vans containing more than 20 policemen rushed to the scene. They established that the car was owned by an actress there in China who had left the Jeep parked in the street all week. They finally made contact with her. She revealed the hand was merely a prop used in her opera. She had left it in the back of the car because she was planning to give it to a friend as a joke. Go up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the breaking news story about the creation of a black hole detected today. Astronomers photographing a cosmic event, which they believe is the birth of a black hole. A faint visible light flash likely heralds the merger of two dense neutron stars to create a relatively low-mass black hole. If you're into science, you're going to love this story. This all happened, by the way, 2.2 billion light years away. So it actually took place 2.2 billion years ago, and the light just reached Earth this morning. A German scientist is being studied by colleagues after claiming to have eaten nothing for 4 years. Cancer researcher Dr. Michael Werner claims to get all his energy from sunlight. He says he drinks only water mixed with a small amount of fruit juice. That's it. Dr. Werner has written a book about his experiences, saying that when he started the experiment, he even managed to put on some weight. Well, his colleagues so far are at a loss to explain how he is managing to stay healthy. Director Steven Spielberg wept at the premiere of pal George Lucas's final Star Wars movie. The filmmaker Spielberg was so moved by the eagerly awaited conclusion of the sci-fi saga that he burst into tears at the screening last week. He said he was unashamed by the tears, simply saying it was absolutely amazing. He said the end, which is very, very dark, but you'll cry at the end. This email in from Angela, by the way, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll share it with you. So, George, I just wanted to ask you a question about shadow people. I'm a security guard on the graveyard shift, so I hear the show, but never really get a chance to call in. It seems like no matter what post I am on at night, I see shadow people or hear or see ghosts. Been like that since I was a kid. I want to know if I am right or if some of this stems from a story my mom told me when she was pregnant with me. She and my aunts were playing with a Ouija board one night. Something bad came out, started throwing things at them all around the room, but my mom said, she was 7 months pregnant at the time, that she felt a hand or something actually go into her stomach, wrap itself around me. So now, ever since, after I was born, I've been seeing these strange things, shadow people. Seeing strange things, by the way. I had a chance to rent the video National Treasure with Nicolas Cage over the weekend. Great movie, by the way, and it echoes a lot of things that we've been talking about on Coast to Coast for some time. So I brought the video back today, the DVD, and I'm telling you, I walked straight into the devil. The devil was coming out of a video store, was carrying, by the way, two DVDs, beady eyes. And, you know, the way he looked at me, it was almost like he knew I knew he was the devil. I'm telling you, I've never seen someone with such a cold face in all my life. And as a matter of fact, I could swear I could have seen little horns at the top of his head. And, I mean, he just stared, didn't say anything, and just kept going, turning back, looking. It was eerie. It really was. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open for you right now at 818-501-4721. 4109. I'm George Norrie, and yes, this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Let's go to the open lines. By the way, at the half-mile mark of this hour, a very brief discussion with our webmaster, Lex Lonehood, because I want Lex to give us an update on how the free Streamlink weekend went for the thousands of you who participated in that. And also, today's the very first day of the free podcasting software. And I want Lex to kind of educate us a little bit about that, because he knows it far better than I. Let's go to the first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Where are you calling from?
I'm Dave. I'm calling from Youngstown, Ohio.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Hey, when I was like 22, I'd just gotten out of the Army.
Okay.
And I was trying to go to sleep, and I saw something about 8 foot tall enter my room, and it was like kind of made out of shadow, man. And the bad thing was I couldn't talk, and I could hardly like breathe. And it seemed like an eternity.
Sleep? Were you in this form of paralysis, Dave?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, that happens. What it was, who knows? How did it leave? That's important.
It looked at me and laughed. It looked at me and laughed, and then it just, like, was gone. I tried praying to God, man, and then it, like, finally went away.
Well, thank God it went away. Let me tell you something. When I saw what I thought was the devil today, I mean, that was a scary thought, too. I mean, this thing was cold. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Would that be me?
It would be you.
Okay, hi, George. This is Dallas. I'm calling from the great state of Oklahoma. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay, I was calling in about the Loch Ness Monster and the Rhines photographs that were taken in 1975. They were taken by strobe lights.
Right.
Well, I was thinking, George, there was a movie. It was called Sherlock Holmes and the Loch Ness Monster, and they were filming it in 1969. And they lost their movie monster in the loch while they were filming that, and they couldn't retrieve it. And I was thinking that maybe the photographs that Rhines took in 1975 could have possibly been of this movie monster that they lost.
Well, did that monster have that kind of a fin?
See, that's the thing. I don't know. I'd like to see some like movie stills of this movie monster and compare them to Rhines' photographs. I don't know if anybody on the internet has any, you know, like photograph stills of this movie monster, but I would really like to take a look at it. You know.
Okay. And of course, as you know, last week it's been theorized now that Steve Alton, author of the book called The Loch, he believes that Nessie is a huge eel.
Oh, yeah, I heard you talk something about that, but I didn't catch the entire program.
But that's a pretty good theory that you brought up, that it possibly could be, you know, like a Hollywood machine, almost like the shark in Jaws, that kind of a thing down
there. Yeah, I shared this theory with James Randi through email, and he told me he had never heard of the Rhines photographs, and he had no clue about it, but I was just wondering if anybody else may have had that theory or may have heard it before.
Okay, well, if they fast blast me, I'll mention it, and we'll see what happens. Wildcard Line, your turn. Welcome to the program. Where might you be?
Hi, George. This is Andrew out trucking across the country tonight in Wisconsin.
Hey, Andrew. Hey, by the way, you're going to love the program coming up in just about a half hour, because one of the things our guest is going to talk about with immigration is he believes that foreigners should not be driving trucks into the United States, and I agree with that. I bet you do too, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting a little wheezy about some guys that are driving trucks. Anyway, George, I gotta get all this in. You hardly ever give me a chance. This is Andrew. I talked to you last August about my possible connection with Hurricanes Bonnie and Charlie. I've had quite a few radical experiences this year after I listened to the New Year's Eve show with Sylvia Brown.
Right. What happened?
And, well, I met somebody in Nebraska that I met in a dream a month and a half before that told me exactly how my dream went. And just recently, Sunday night, I had a dream that a truck was rolling over. I thought it was my truck I was driving. And in this dream, and I was looking out the mirror, and the truck started rolling over. The load started falling off the trailer, and the trailer started going over, and the truck started going over. I woke up, and, well, today our safety manager put a message out that he was gone for the week and going through everything, and he said that everything went well last week except that they had a rollover today.
Oh, my God. And you've got the gift somehow.
I had the feeling that I should call them and tell them, but I didn't want them to think I'm nuts, you know, and anything like that.
Well, yeah, since it's after the fact, too. You know, had you gone on record in the before that, that might have helped a little bit.
Yeah, I did get a chance to tell two other people about it, but it wasn't, didn't probably count in the right direction. But all day long, I was thinking, I should call him and tell him.
Well, let me tell you, next time something like that happens, start really documenting it. I mean, sounds like you're at least 2 for 2, and that's pretty good percent.
Yes. So, okay. There's quite a few other experiences I've had. And I want to tell you, I know the two witnesses, George.
What witnesses?
The two witnesses of the Bible.
You know two witnesses?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Explain this.
The two witnesses of the Bible that prophesy during the end times. I think you got to get them on the show. I can give you guys the information on how to contact them.
Okay, you just send us an email, Andrew, and we'll take care of it. Simple as that. Two witnesses, huh? I'd like to talk to them. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hey, it's Seamus.
You recognize me.
I know your voice.
Yeah, what can I say? I have a little bit of a follow-up on Resident X. Since the time that the activity pretty much stopped, we still had a little bit of measurable energy readings there. And Resident X's youngest daughter was having trouble sleeping. She would wake up continuously in the night. Well, guess what? We found out exactly what was going on and why.
Why?
Well, it seems that the instant that a certain couple that were living in the complex left, her sleep habits went back to normal, and the energy readings completely subsided.
Now, are you saying that this entity might have been attaching itself to this other couple?
Yes, because what had happened was, and we were actually able to trace it back, that within 3 days of the time that they had moved in, that's when the activity started. And we think that they may be the reason that the door was opened. We also found out that one of the people was into the occult and was also into drugs.
Well, let me tell you, Seamus, you got to close that door fast before something really happens. International Line, you're up. Where are you?
Hey, George, I'm in Winnipeg. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
I'm calling about Oscar. I'm just calling to see if you've heard anything else on Oscar, and do you think that could have been Oscar that you saw when you returned your movie?
Well, Bosch, I hope that wasn't Oscar when I returned my movie and DVD. Oscar did not call in on Friday. He had a pretty good streak going. He had called in the week before, and the board op at our affiliate in Bismarck, North Dakota, called us. And that was weird because he had no idea how Oscar got through because the phone wasn't ringing.
It's
a strange thing. I don't know where he is. Now, somebody has sent me a notice that said that he has performed an exorcism and that Oscar is not coming back anymore. Well, I don't know, but he did tell me that before Friday night's show, and Oscar was a no-show, so who knows what's going on. But I'll tell you, one of the eeriest voices I've ever heard, and whether he's real or pretending, it's still pretty frightening, I think.
It makes me and a lot of other people listen. It's very interesting, to say the
least,
George.
Here he is. Okay, thanks for the call.
Take care.
The episodes of Oscar, some of you who might not know who the heck Oscar is, well, he called us well over a month ago, claiming to be the son of Satan. And who knows anymore? But he possessed the body of a woman named Rachel, and apparently now Rachel is clear of Oscar. And Oscar claims that he's going after now someone in North Dakota, and at my affiliate, as a matter of fact. Oscar is starting to pick at me. If you need to email me, that's very simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com, our website, which was a little slow today, and I'll ask Lex why in just a minute because I have a feeling all of you Streamlink members were picking up your free podcasting software. So we'll check in with Lex Lonehood in a minute, and then we'll continue for the rest of the hour with Open Lines with you. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. From somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, as I mentioned last week, it was a free Streamlink weekend for those of you starting last Friday. Then it ran Saturday and Sunday. Those of you who are not Streamlink members, I hope you had an opportunity to experiment with that. Streamlink, of course, is great when you want to download past shows and things like that. As a matter of fact, today was the day that podcasting software was given out to Streamlink members free, by the way. And, of course, all that's headed up by our very own computer department. Excellent people. And Lex Lonehood, who's the webmaster for coasttocoastam.com. He's also a frequent contributor and monthly columnist for the After Dark newsletter, and he's joining us briefly now. We'll talk about this weekend and podcasting. Lex, how are you?
Good evening, George. How you doing?
Yeah, I had a great time in San Francisco, by the way. I'm glad you had a chance to come by and say hi to all of us, too.
It was pretty cool seeing you basking in the with the glow of the crowd there.
Hey, tell me, how did the weekend go, the free Streamlink weekend, first of all, before we get into podcasting?
It was just fantastic, George. We had thousands of people test driving the system. It ran really smoothly, and it was just a great opportunity for people to find out what Streamlink is all about.
Now, the podcasting is something different, free software. Explain that to us, Lex. What is this?
Well, it's a pretty cool little piece of software that we're adding to the Streamlink package, and I think the best way to explain it is just to briefly describe how Streamlink has evolved over the years. Initially, you kind of had to listen to the show on your computer via the streamed broadcasts. And then in March of 2004, we introduced the MP3 downloads, which really pretty dramatically changed the picture. It allowed people to listen to Coast on the go by either burning the show onto CDs or transferring it onto their own MP3 players. And so what podcasting is basically a tool of convenience, and it goes and gets the MP3 downloads for you, and they're just waiting on your computer desktop. So, for instance, if you left your computer on overnight, when you got up in the morning, there they'd be. Or if you didn't want to leave your computer on, you could just fire up your computer and go make coffee, and then when you come back, there's the 4 hours waiting for you.
And it's a great tool for downloading some past programs as well, which I really see as a strength of Streamlink, Lex.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we recently added as well, extending our MP3 library. It used to just be 30 days, and so now it's 90 days. And one thing that's really been cool is that we keep adding new features to Streamlink, but we haven't had to raise the price, so I've been real happy about that to really make it a great value.
Did you get some good input, by the way, from people who tried the free Streamlink weekend and also they're trying podcasting? Because I'm sure we're going to adjust, right?
Yeah. This is actually, the podcasting, this is our first version of it. So as time goes on, we're going to refine it and offer more features with that as well.
And how do you give the software to people?
First you become, if you're not already a Streamlink member, you just join up via the webpage. If you're already a Streamlink member, you just click on the podcast link, and then there's downloads for either Mac or Windows, and it's pretty simple. It's a very basic piece of software, and there's some options that you can set it for how you want to use it, how you want it to go get the MP3s, and it's pretty self-explanatory once you get it.
Excellent. Lex, thanks a lot. Get back to work, Lex. We've got a program to put on today. That's our very own webmaster, Lex Lohnen. By the way, I've always said that Streamlink is wonderful for people who want to record their own past programs and download it. Years ago, they used to sell, long before I came aboard, tapes of the programs, and they ran for $25 plus a piece. And so if you wanted four shows, you had to cough up $100. Now with Streamlink, you can still download those shows that are all available to you, as Lex just pointed out, for just the monthly price of like $6.95 for Streamlink. I mean, it's a tremendous deal, and you know, you don't have to worry about tapes anymore. Simple as that. We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, I'm calling from Anza, California, the other high desert.
Well, welcome to the program. How
Thank
are you?
You. I'm great. I'm a new Streamlink subscriber, and there's no static. I was calling because I wanted to talk about spontaneous morgue recoveries. You featured a lot of stories talking about people who've been confirmed dead and in cold storage, and then they could come out, and lo and behold, the person's breathing. I don't know. There are a lot of links from your website about that. And with that in mind, since Coast to Coast listeners have also used their collective thoughts to summon rain in specific locations, I wanted to ask your listeners to concentrate on actually bringing about a spontaneous morgue recovery.
All right.
And the woman, her name is Tavina Benedict in Eugene.
And will it all help?
I think it would be a great experiment for you all to see if you can do more than rain.
Well, we can do more than rain. And as you know, Art would do experiments for a couple individuals, for Richard C. Hoagland, for Rush Limbaugh some time ago. And it seemed to work. It seemed to work well.
Oh, it's powerful. What you guys do, I don't know. You have a lot of listeners in every single one.
Well, and as you know, what we do every Friday is we devote some time to people individually to just concentrate collectively, and I think it's been working. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George. Regarding your devil sighting, I've seen him over 100 times. The devil is telepathic. That's why you knew who he was right away. And he's a reptilian, so he's like a chameleon. So he's reflecting back how he sees you. It's all symbolic. The dark eyes are a symbol of black is a color of judgment. And DVD is death, vengeance, death. That's the second death from the Bible. I get a Bible and read the red words of Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to protect you, because Satan is also the angel of death. And if you can find out...
Well, I got to tell you, this guy, or whatever it might be, just the minute I saw him, I just kept thinking devil, and I don't know why.
He's telepathic. He's telepathic, metamorphic. He also has powers of invisibility. But he also, looking back, he said he was looking back.
And yes. Yes.
That's L-O-O. King. He's the L-O-O king. You better watch out. You need to protect yourself with the Bible and with Jesus. Because he's
But why is he doing this? Why me?
He's mad at you because you're exposing the UFOs, which are his. He's the Cosmo Creator. He's the ruler of the cosmos. And those are his time machines. You're exposing him and his demons, so...
Well, and we've been doing that for some time now, so this is their little way to get even?
He's warning you. You need to find out, if you can find out what he rented, too. What was the name of the store?
Well, I'm not going to say that. But
well, that's
it's one.
You need
it's
to get one, all the clues you can get.
It's one of your top video stores, obviously.
You need to get all the clues that you can get. If it was like Blockbuster, then...
I tried to look at what he was renting, but he had it hidden, sort of. I mean, he had two DVDs under his arm, but, you know, obviously I wasn't going to pry open
thing,
his arms and look at
these things.
The other
thing DVD
things.
Could mean is... death by venereal disease. He has female demons that work as strippers and things like that. Yeah, you could die that way. Be careful who you sleep with.
I think DVD is a long, long push, don't you? Let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, George, my name is Dave. I'm calling from Salt Spring Island, British Columbia.
Yeah.
Your guest the other day, Atomic Iran,
yes.
Talking about the high-altitude atomic bursts. That struck a chord with me. Nostradamus had two writings about seeing two suns in the sky, or what appeared to be two suns in the sky, and another one talking about people thinking they see the sun at night. And I just wondered if one of those bursts at a high altitude wouldn't look like a second sun in the sky.
It probably would.
You know, because it didn't say there were two suns, it said it appeared to be two suns. So I thought maybe some of your Nostradamus enthusiasts would bring some light onto that. And something about chemtrails?
Yes.
I live in the Pacific Northwest, and they spray here extremely heavily, which blows south towards Whitby Island, which is a big naval base there. Now, with stealth technology, either terrestrial or extraterrestrial, our radar might not be able to see particular objects, but they could create some sort of a wake or an effect if the atmosphere was full of this aluminum dioxide particles. So they might be able to track things by seeing their effect but not being able to see the object itself.
Well, let me tell you, too, there was a very interesting story last week that we had on where the Russians were going to manipulate their own weather, and a Russian military expert said specifically that we can stop the rain from occurring because they've got this big event coming up. And that convinces me more than anything that chemtrails have a lot to do with weather manipulation. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. Man, I can't believe I'm talking to you. This is Terry from Huntsville, Arkansas.
Hi, Terry. How
are
you?
Hi, Doctor. In December, I talked to Dr. Domeno, and now I'm talking to you.
Is there a difference?
Oh, yeah, I believe you're pretty similar. I don't know. you know, I've got two great stories for you. I hope maybe I can motor mouth you at both of them. But
well, let's go with one first.
We'll go with one, okay. About the anger thing, my husband and I moved from Los Angeles to Arkansas about 14 years ago. We just started cleaning carpets for people.
Okay.
And we were called to this one area. It was in a valley, and it was like a mobile home. And first you got to talk to the people for like 20 minutes. They get to know you. They kind of chow in the South, you know. And this lady says to me, she goes, "Did you hear about so-and-so lady over there?" And I said, "No, we've never been in this valley." And she goes, "Oh." She goes, "Well, let me tell you about this." She said, "We've all kind of lived in this valley, and there were mobile homes kind of spread out pretty far, but you could look in the valley and see all of them." And she said there was this woman and this man that lived in that one way over there. And she said, for 10 years, almost every night, the man would come home drunk and beat her up, and you'd hear her screaming through this valley, you know, all this. And she goes, "We were all scared of him, you know, and we didn't do anything." And
nobody called the cops on him?
Well, I think they did, and the cops just, you know, gave him a warning and all this stuff. But anyway, after 10 years, she took it for that long. And then one night, he beat her up, passed out on the bed, and she took a needle and thread and another sheet, and she laid it over him so carefully. She sewed it all together on all the edges, and she beat him to death with a
baseball bat. Now, did she get convicted of anything?
Oh, no. Let me tell you. I don't know if it's still true, but in Arkansas at that time, the killing someone in self-defense rule was enacted, and everybody testified in her defense.
You know, regardless of how she did it, I guess.
Yeah, it was self-defense. But let me tell you this other one. Remember that show you had when you had scary things that happened to your children?
Yeah.
This happened in the 60s. My sister-in-law, she had two little kids, a little boy, a little girl. They were like 2 and 3. And she had like a 55 Chevy with a little window in the back, a truck, you know. And she was driving down the road, and the two of them, this is when before seatbelts and all, they're standing up and all this next to her on the seat. And she had made a right turn real slow, and she didn't realize, she didn't shut her door all the way. And that big old door swung open, and she leaned over as she's making this turn to get it, and she fell out. And she tumbled, and she got all cut up and all, and she jumped up to her feet and started running after the truck, and she saw her two little kids looking out of the window going, "Mommy, Mommy," and the truck's, you know, going down the street.
Man.
She's running as fast as she can, and she was freaking out, and she said, "Terry, it was the weirdest thing. This truck went down the road, and it pulled over to the side and stopped." And it just stopped, and it's like almost like the angels were, you know.
Well, I know, stopping the truck. I'll tell you what, years ago when one of my daughters, she was 5 years old, my dad was taking her to school, and she was in the back seat, and it was snowy. It was in Detroit. It must have been about 4 feet of snow that plows had pushed to the side of the road. And he made a turn, and somehow the car door opened up, and she fell out and plopped right into a snowbank. Well, he got to the school, was totally oblivious that the door had even opened, and he said, "Okay, Wendy, get out," and looked around, and the door was open, and there was no Wendy, and he panicked, and he didn't know she fell out a block before that. And, you know, with those heavy little snow outfits that little kids wear, you look like a little spaceman. She could barely even move. She was stuck in the snowbank, almost like an angel would. When you were kids, you'd make little angels in the snow. She was stuck in a snowbank, and somebody came by and found her in there and just picked her up, and she ran down to school, and there my father was, just frantic, looking for her. The kids, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of shed my view on your video encounter, and also another question. The guy, Oscar, a couple weeks ago, you know, kind of lost time, but there's a guy who did a prayer to try and rid somebody of a demon. Was he praying for Oscar? Was that what that was? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Yes, no? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
Did you hear my question?
That was for Oscar.
Okay. All right. And on the guy at the video store, in Revelation 13, it talks about the guy, the Antichrist, that is, being from the Mediterranean area, which can be anywhere from, you know, Spain to France to Italy, all the way, you know, all the way around to Africa and all that. Was the guy, by any chance, do you have kind of those dark olive kind of features? Or?
Go ahead. I couldn't hear you right at the end.
Okay. Did the guy have kind of olive features? Does kind of Mediterranean look to him, by any chance?
No, he did not.
Yeah, no, he did
not. I mean, he looked like the classic devil with a horn look. Very strange.
Well, there's a really, you know, the author for the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis?
Yes.
He wrote a book called Screwtape Letters, which is all about the correspondence of this kind of minor devil or whatever, kind of a rookie kind of devil or whatever who's sent on assignments and everything. And is the book's about a correspondence between this young devil and his uncle. Was it Wormwood? I can't remember, but fantastic book about the intervention of the devil. I mean, it's not a, you know, a dark book if you've read Chronicles of Narnia. They're, you know, it's a fantastic book, but it's all about that intervention of devils in people's lives. Because I firmly believe in, you know, devils and angels and their interaction here on Earth. And
you have to. You know, I don't necessarily know exactly where they came from in terms of where they fit on the pecking order of universal life by any means, but they're part of it, and the part of the prophecy which we'll continue to get into on Coast to Coast is the one area that fascinates me and you, I think, more than anything else. That's what I get the most response on. We'll be back in a moment. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.